Esta sin ausencia en ruido. Esta es la Corán Karim. Este es el que me hace miswak. Sit facing Qibla. In the center of heart. Read Corán Karim. And the Mashaykh have mentioned six external and six internal rules of reverence for reading Quran Karim, which are given below. The rules that is external, perform wuzu, face Qibla in an extremely dignified manner. To not proceed fast, but read with measured, correct pronunciation. Try to weep, even if you have to compel yourself to do so. 4. The response to ayat of mercy or punishment should be as explained above. 5. Reading should be in a low voice. If insincerity is apprehended on your part or disturbance is caused to others, otherwise read in a loud voice. 6. Read in a melodious voice, because there are numerous ahadith laying emphasis on this. First of all, wuzu.
Wuzu is condition. Quran Kareem, it is clear cut that if you have to read the Quran, you must make wuzu and read. It's obligatory, necessary, absolutely essential that we make wuzu and read Quran. And now, what about a kitab that has got Quranic ayats on it? Whether the kitab is in Urdu or whether it is in English, can you read the kitab without wuzu? You must understand this point. The Quran Kareem we read with wuzu because it is only Quran Kareem. Any other thing, any other kitab, if you find in the kitab there are more of the kitab itself than Quranic ayat or Quranic material, then it is permissible to read the kitab without wuzu. However, if there is more Quran inside the book, then it will follow under the order of the Quran, and you must have Quran, you must have wuzu to read the Quran. Those portions which have got Quranic Kareem written in it should not touch them if they are in Arabic, if you are not in the state of wuzu. Quran al-Kareem, Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be respected. Ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided into two. Those we normally know about are those which we call hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith al-Qudsi is when it is written that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so. First of all, Quran is direct. Allah ta'ala via Jibreel alayhi salam, or via those means which I've explained in the initial stages of our lesson, that how Quran al-Kareem was revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning and the purport and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, for example, how we must come into the masjid, how we must make salat. The huge purpose of hadiths, we will term as, you can read that hadith without wuzu. Then the hadith could see where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, that also as scholars have said, you can read it without wuzu. Why? Because we say there are two types of wahi. Wahi, divine revelation. Wahi a matlu and wahi a ghair matlu. Wahi a matlu means wahi, divine revelation, which is recited. And divine revelation, wahi a ghair matlu, divine revelation, which is not recited. So, revelation which is recited, that is Quran al-Kareem, that we read all the time, everybody reads them. And revelation which is not recited, a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it be hadith al-Qudsi or
the other hadith. That is not often recited. So wahi, direct revelation Quran Kareem, you have to have wuzu to read, and ghair direct or ghair matlu, not often recited, that you do not have to have wuzu to recite. Woman folk in the halat of haze, menstruation, pregnancy, they also cannot read Quran Kareem, they must not touch Quran Kareem. Now this also will mean that those frames and those sometimes you have these days plates also that have got Quran Kareem inscriptions on them, then you must not touch them without wuzu. You must not hold them without wuzu. You must not move them around without wuzu. You must have wuzu to move them around. But there is a method where you can move them around. You take cloth which is detachable. For example, a handkerchief, you hold that plate and you can move it. That is permissible. However, that is the law. For example, to read this kitab without wuzu is the law. You can read Teaching of Islam without wuzu. You can read Hadith kitab without wuzu. That is the legal aspect. But definitely, any Islamic kitab, provided that, alhamdulillah, that Islamic kitab is written by reliable people, authentic, and that is proper, the person is of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, that kitab, if you read it with wuzu, there is a different effect, and if you read it without wuzu, there is a different effect. Wuzu is the light which will aid us to see the light in other things. That is why it is stated that if you are in difficulty, make wuzu and make salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nusrat will come down. So perform wuzu and then facing Qibla in an extremely dignified manner. To face Qibla, this is adabs. These are etiquettes of reading Quran Kareem. First of all, wuzu I told you is essential. Now to face Qibla, if a person doesn't face Qibla and reads Quran Kareem, he will get thawab. But it is not what we will say compulsory or essential, or it is not absolutely necessary for such an action to be done. But if an action is done with its proper etiquette, then the desired results come also. And sitting before Quran Kareem, we should recite and we should read it and we should sit dignified. This is Allah Ta'ala's kitab. This is Allah Ta'ala's kitab sent to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best kitab, the best Nabi. So we should read it in a dignified manner. Number two, do not proceed fast, but read with measure and correct pronunciation. I've stated that to read Quran Kareem and to read it quickly, that's no achievement. That is why we consciously say to those brothers who cannot read Quran Kareem and who are having difficulties reading Quran, they say, I cannot read fast Quran Kareem. To read fast the Quran, that is not the purpose. But to read correctly, with correct pronunciation, with valid pronunciation, that is the purpose. And you'll see later that we must read in a melodious voice. A person must not say, listen, I do not possess a melodious voice, therefore I must not make tilawat of Quran. Another thing that is creeping in these days is that some people are saying that there is no sawab for reading Quran Kareem. And now, unfortunately, some pamphlets are printed in that direction and some national newspapers are carrying these things too. We should not worry about that, because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in the hadith that if you read Alif, Lam, Mim, you will get sawab. And for reading Alif, you will get 10 sawab. For reading Lam, you will get 10 sawab. And for reading Mim, you will get 10 sawab. So for every letter of the Quran Kareem that you read, you are going to get sawab. So just mere making tilawat of Quran, reading Quran Kareem, it is sawab. To read Quran Kareem, to look at Quran Kareem, inshallah, eyesight won't get spoiled and you will get sawab. That is why Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with eyesight, look at 40. Allah Rabbul Izzat has given you ability to see, then look at 40. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that look at the Kaabatullah, or look at the Kitabullah, or look at the Rosa Rasulullah, or look at the Awliya Allah. Now look at the Kitabullah, look at Quran Kareem.
By looking at Qur'an-e Kareem, you will get sawab. Just looking at Qur'an-e Kareem, you will get sawab. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that if you come to the masjid and if you look at a person making salat, by the mere fact you look at a person making salat is as if to say you are making salat. The sawab that person is getting by making salat, you are going to get also by just looking at him. Look at the Kaabatullah. By looking at the Kaaba, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending upon the Kaaba, then inshallah you will be able to get sawab. Clear cut hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that looking at the Kaaba gives sawab and brings sawab. Look at the roza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, automatically you will think about sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will think about personality and character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will think about his whole history, and inshallah a person can change. Looking at the awliya, the sawab is there because these are pious, they are righteous, they are not evil, they are not transgressing, they are upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending. If you look at the person upon whom the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you some of that mercy also. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with eyesight, then we should try to see that what we are looking at, what we are not looking at, and our eyesight is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we fulfilling this trust and amanat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and what not we are looking at? Whether it be on the streets, whether it be anywhere, are we doing justice to the eyesight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. We were discussing Surah Fil, and I mentioned various incidents, how the Surah came down, why it came down, and the circumstances of revelation. Today we'll try to round it up by mentioning few salient features about that Surah. This Surah Fil basically was the attack on the Kaaba by Abraha, and how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather addressed Abraha, then he took his camels back from Abraha and he told the Makkans, let's all of us go to the mountain side and leave the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects the Kaaba. Before doing this, before proceeding, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather Abdul Muttalib, he addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, you look after the Kaaba. You are the guardian, custodian, protector, safekeeper of the Kaaba. It is not in our ability and capability to protect the Kaaba. So it was basically after that the elephants tried to attack, and the birds sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carrying pebbles destroyed the elephants. So it was the birds versus the elephants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided the strength and the taqat in those pebbles, and the elephants were destroyed. What we learned from this, that we cannot rely upon strength. What we see, we cannot rely upon. We cannot rely upon willpower to solve our situations. We cannot rely upon the might and the power of the superpowers to solve our problems. We cannot rely on what we externally see. This history is showing us, the history of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us, and just before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, the story of the Ashab-e Fil, the people of the elephant, the companions of the elephant, proved this, that power and strength does not lie in the asbab, in what we see. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was standing by the side of the river, the huge river, the waves of the river are striking, and this side they can see Pharaoh and his whole army coming swiftly, and the companions of Musa alayhi salam are saying, oh Musa, what have you done to us? One side is the huge river and the one side is the army that we can see, the dust in the air, they are coming. But madad, help was with Musa alayhi salam. Nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was inspired and the river opened. Although Pharaoh had the forces, he had the might, he had the equipment, he had the army, he had everything, but he was drunk. Here in this Surah Fil, it is clearly shown that the custodian of the Kaaba, Nabi Kareem's grandfather, had no power, no might, nothing on his side, But what belief he had on his side, that Allah Ta'ala will protect the Kaaba, that Allah Ta'ala is the custodian, the real custodian of the Kaaba, and Allah Ta'ala will see that no one destroys the Kaaba, and Allah Ta'ala will see that nothing happens to the Haram. And our iman should be exactly like that too. The Surah Fil is directing that we should have the same iman, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the protector. Not the US forces can protect it, not France can protect it, not Germany can protect it, not USSR can protect it, nothing can protect it. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will protect it. And that is why it is open, we are very open with this statement, that USA forces or the international forces cannot protect the Kaaba. Why? Because it is Allah who is going to protect the Kaaba. And this incident, this story, or this true story of Surah Fil shows us that Allah is the protector of the Kaaba, no one else. And this which has happened there, that now the US forces have come there on the pretext of protecting the Haramain, that is a big farce and that is a total lie. And it is said that what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed from the Haramain, what he removed from the Hijaz, what he removed from the Arabian states, that intermingling of sexes, womanizing, wine, dancing, he removed the eating of pork, he removed the Christians and the Jews from that area. Now all those very same things have come back into those border areas, all in the name of protection of the Haramain, where if we had our iman strong, if we had our facts straight, and if we had basic things straight, then we know that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the protector of the Kaaba. And as I have related to you, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, that he called for the key. And when he gave back the key to the person from the Usmani tribe, and when he gave back the key, he told them, you can have the key. And the person who takes away the key from yours, forcefully, he will be a transgressor. He will be a transgressor. And we also know that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that the person who is going to come to destroy the Kaaba will be a short-legged Abyssinian, Negro, from the African continent. He will come to destroy the Kaaba, and he will actually do such a thing. So that why we should be afraid? We know that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prophesied this, and we should have full firm belief in these things. But when our iman becomes weak, and when our amal become corrupt, then we run and we try to look for forces that will protect us externally. Abraha, he built this temple, and this temple was built, according to the scholars, it was built of gold. And it was built to divert the people away from the Kaaba itself. That is why the people from Qad'an, as I have related to you, they defiled that Abraha's temple, the church of his, and also to an extent they burnt it. Now in this age here also, people are trying to divert the attention of the Muslims from the Kaaba. And they are trying to divert the attention of the Muslims and the Muslims away from Islam. First of all, Muslims are doing it, and secondly also the Christians are doing it. For example, you and I know that in the Ivory Coast now, they have built a massive church here. The Lady of Peace, Basilia, which has been built on the 7th visit of the Pope. And the Vatican report is that we are concentrating and we are putting our efforts in Africa because Islam is spreading too fast in Africa. Therefore, we need to create and build a huge structure. Exactly what how Abraham was thinking those days. These people are thinking these days that now they want to build a huge structure. And that structure which they have built in the Ivory Coast, and our foreign minister was there also, that 700 million rand it cost. And the capacity of it is 7,000 people can sit inside, and 300,000 people to 400,000 people can sit outside. And the Vatican report is that we have to do such things because Islam is spreading too fast. And the question that we have to pose is that what we are doing for Islamic progress, are we propagating Islam, are we practicing Islam, are we preaching Islam, or are we hindering people to come into Islam? Are we stopping people to come into Islam? How can you stop people from coming and entering into Islam? It's by your own character. By character, by good akhlaq, Islam spread. And if you do not behave well, if you do not project Islam, then how can Islam spread? Another thing is that during the Hajj times, in so-called Islamic states like Pakistan, in Karachi itself, they in one area called Lalu Khet. And as you know, in Pakistan, they have what we call a circle, what we call chorai. And the how we have got circles here, they call those circles chorai. Now, the cars come there, they go around those circles and go away. And those circles sometimes are very huge in size. So in one of those circles, they build a replica of the Kaaba. These people who have got tendencies of making innovations and doing bidah and entering into customs and rituals, they build a replica of the Kaaba. Let alone the replica of the Kaaba, they also build a replica of the place where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried. And during the Hajj time, and during Rabiul Awwal too, at times they do this, they build a replica of where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried, and what they do is they make dawah for the place also. And the so-called Islamic government allows that and protects that. And to the way they build a replica of where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried, they go and read Salat and Salam. And all this is done in the name of Islam, all this is done in the name of religion, all this is done in the name of righteousness. And the government allows this and protects this. Why? Because practically every government on earth has got this policy to divide your populace and rule them. The British concept of ruling and governing people is to divide them and let them, and then when they are fighting and they are quarreling and they are running after their differences, you rule over them. And you protect the person who is causing the trouble intentionally, purposefully. So those people having the prototype of the Kaaba, they get away, getting away with the blasphemy of deen, and they're getting away. All under the guidance and all under the protection of Islamic government. Those birds that came, it is reported that no one knows where they came from and where did they go to, and it is stated that every, according to some scholars, that they fell onto the heads of those people and tore them apart. Yet it is noteworthy that Abraha was not killed with those stones. Abraha survived. He and a few of his companions survived, and they had to carry him out of that place. They had to carry him literally out of Hijaz, out of the Arabian Peninsula. They had to carry him back into where he came from. It is stated later that he, on the way, he developed leprosy. And leprosy he developed, there are various types of it. The one that he developed was that his part of his flesh and part of his skin should fall off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted him with such a punishment. And this was going slowly, slowly. So parts of his body were falling off slowly, slowly, until eventually he died. And it is reported, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha reports, that those who aided Abraha, the Arabs who aided Abraha, for example, the guide of the elephant, she said, I have seen him in his old age, blind and crippled, holding a stick and begging in the streets of Madinah al-Munawwarah. That was his condition. Yeah, it is very clear. What was the condition of those who supported Abraha? Allah Ta'ala destroyed them, punished them. And what was the position of those who aided Abraha, that they were forced to aid him, guide the elephant? They also were punished in this world and in the Akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the Kaaba. And the protection of the Kaaba is not in our hands. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector of the Kaaba, then our iman should be there and nothing can happen. That anything, the people can come with any sort of equipment and ammunition against the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them. Now, one is that there was idol worship going on in the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not destroy those idol worshippers, but those people who came to destroy the Kaaba, Allah ta'ala destroyed them. Here, we must know that those people who came to destroy the Kaaba, the origin of the Kaaba was on Tawheed. The basis of the Kaaba was a Tawheed. From Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam time, then the flood of Nuh came, then Hazrat Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, they reconstructed it, they built it again, and all the time it was a Tawheed. The Kaaba is the basis, foundation of a Tawheed structure. The idols, you know, they were inserted. They were inserted by those Mushrikeen of Mecca. So actually, if the Abraha was coming to push down Tawheed, Abraha was coming to knock down the very basis of Islam. Abraha was coming to knock down the deed of Islam. Abraha was coming to knock down the deed and the Risalat. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the Kaaba. Because the Kaaba symbolizes for us Tawheed, Risalat, deed, deed of Ibrahim, deed of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated that after this incident, that is why the Surah Leela fi Quraysh, inshallah, we will be discussing that next, that the Quraysh, they could not go and transact around that area. They had limited transaction ability because their routes were limited. But after this incident, that the Ashab al-Fil came, Abra came with his elephant and he tried to push down the Kaaba, and then the bird came and destroyed the Abraha and his companions, then the people around came to know that, you know what, the Abraha came with the elephants and these people were saved and protected. These are people protected by Allah. These are people beloved. These are very dangerous people. So now what happened? Everybody allowed them. They could trade wherever they want to. They could move wherever they want to. They could subject wherever they want to. And wherever they went, the people were able to treat them properly, hospitably, and the people were afraid of them. That if we harm them, maybe Allah Ta'ala sent some birds for us. If we do anything wrong with these people, the people, when the Abraha tried to attack them with a huge force, and the huge force, how huge was it? That Ibn Kathir states in his commentary that Abraha came with a force of 60,000 people. So he never came there to joke, or he never came there with an ordinary task. He came there, he had his purpose clear that I come to put that Kaaba down. 60,000, and in those days 60,000. So he monitored and he mustered all the support that he could get, and he came down to remove the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid was there. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid was against 60,000 with elephants, with the best elephants of that era, Allah ta'ala's aid cannot be now. Can Allah ta'ala not help us now? Can Allah ta'ala not help us against the AWACS? Can Allah ta'ala not help us against the F-16? Can Allah ta'ala not help us against the tanks? Can Allah ta'ala not help us against all their satellites and all their fighting equipment they've got? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely the protector, and He will remain protecting the Kaaba. This must be our belief, and this is what we should be telling people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector of the Kaaba, and no one can harm the Kaaba, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated so, that the person who takes away the keys from the Kaaba, from the key holders, they are transgressors and they are evil doers. It is stated, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came into the conquest of Mecca, he said, today this Haramain is halal for me. And but it was haram for the people of the elephant. And after today it is halal for me, it is haram again for all the people to come. Halal in this sense, that he came there, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came there and made one of the famous speeches at the door of the Kaaba, and he removed all the idols. He removed all the idols they had on the inside of the wall of the Kaaba. They had pictures and they had sculptures, and they also had engravings inside the Kaaba. So all that was scraped off and all that was removed. As far as the Kaaba itself is concerned, there are some scholars of the opinion that during the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the whole world was engulfed in water. Some scholars say no, that the whole world was not engulfed in water, only part of the world. Most of the scholars say that the whole world was engulfed in water, as a result that the Kaaba itself was pushed down. So can you imagine that the Kaaba, alhamdulillah, we know the various sides of the Kaaba and a small history. Inshallah, next week if I can bring some history of the Kaaba for you, and it'll be interesting to know various corners of the Kaaba, how the Kaaba came up, where it came up, how it was built, why it was built, who built it, when the reconstruction takes place, why the Hatim is left outside, and why it is not complete, and what was the financial and commercial racket run around the Kaaba, how should we make Tawaf, what was the modification later made, all those things, inshallah, I will try to bring some research for you next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand these. So next week, inshallah, we will discuss the Kaaba, because Surah Leela Fi Quraysh deals with the Kaaba and the attack of the Kaaba, so it is quite relevant that we talk over the Kaaba. And because we are facing the Kaaba and that is our Qibla, we should know something, some history of the Kaaba. Then inshallah we'll proceed on to the next surah. Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahim, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sayyidina Muhammad. ربنا اجعل في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا والديا والاخويا والجميع الاخلاق والتسميه دعاء يا الله فجوه وسلطه يا الله فجوه وبيجي الله وسلطه يا الله remove all difficulties and barriers from our path. Ya Allah, make us good Muslims. Ya Allah, make us practical Muslims. Ya Allah, grant us ability to be steadfast in Salah. Ya Allah, grant us ability to be steadfast in the Deen. Ya Allah, grant us ability to be steadfast in Sharia.